It is clear that those permanent atoms which have had experiences similar in character will be affected more strongly by each other than will be those whose experiences have been different. Thus, a certain segregation will take place within the group soul, and presently a filmy separating wall will grow inwards from the envelope, dividing these segregated groups from each other. Reverting to the simile of the water in the bucket, we may conceive of a scarcely perceptible film forming itself across the bucket. At first the water filters through this barrier to some extent, but nevertheless the glasses of water taken out from one side of that barrier are always returned to the same side, so that by degrees the water on one side becomes differentiated from the water on the other side. Then the barrier gradually densifies, and becomes impenetrable, so that eventually there are two distinct portions of water instead of one. In similar fashion, the group soul after a time divides itself by fission, and forms two group souls. The process is repeated over and over again, producing an ever-increasing number of group souls, with contents showing a correspondingly ever-increasing distinction of consciousness, while of course, still sharing certain fundamental characteristics. The laws according to which permanent atoms in the group soul are plunged into the kingdoms of nature are as yet by no means clear. There are indications that the evolution of the mineral, vegetable and the lowest part of the animal kingdom belongs rather to the evolution of the earth itself than to that of the triads, representing the monads, who are evolving in the solar system and who come, in due course, to the earth to pursue their evolution by utilizing the conditions it affords. Thus, grass and small plants of every kind seem to be related to the earth itself much as man's hairs are related to his body, and not to be connected with the monads and their triads. The life in grass, etc., appears to be that of the second logos, which holds them together as forms, whilst the life in the atoms and molecules composing them is, of course, that of the third logos, modified not only by the planetary, page 38, logos of our system of chains, but also by a somewhat obscure entity known as the spirit of the earth. Thus these kingdoms, while offering a field for the evolution of monads and their triads, do not appear to exist by any means solely for that purpose. Hence we find permanent atoms scattered through the vegetable and mineral kingdoms, though we do not as yet understand the reasons governing their distribution. A permanent atom, for example, may be found in a pearl, a ruby, or a diamond. Many will be found scattered through veins of ore and so on. But on the other hand, much mineral substance does not seem to contain any permanent atoms. Similarly, with short-lived plants. But in plants of long continuance, such as trees, permanent atoms are constantly found. But here again, the life of the tree seems to be more closely related to the deva evolution than to the evolution of the consciousness to which the permanent atom is attached. It is, therefore, rather as though advantage were taken of the evolution of life and consciousness in the tree for the benefit of the permanent atom. The permanent atom may thus be said to be there more as a parasite, profiting by the more highly evolved life in which it is bathed. The student must recognize that at the moment our knowledge on these matters is extremely fragmentary. Having now studied the general nature and functions of group souls, we can pass on to consider more in detail mineral, vegetable and animal group souls, commencing with the mineral group soul. Page 39, Chapter 10, Mineral Group Souls, Diagram 14 is an attempt to illustrate a mineral group soul. It will be seen that the wall or envelope of the group soul has three layers. The outermost is composed of physical atomic matter, the central one of astral monadic essence, the innermost one of mental elemental essence, that is, matter of the fourth mental subplane. A mineral group soul may thus be defined as a collection of triads, enclosed in a triple envelope consisting of mental elemental essence, astral monadic essence, and physical atomic matter. Within the group soul are shown some lower triads, attached of course, to their respective higher triads, these again being linked to their overshadowing monads. These triads within the group soul are not at the moment plunged into any mineral substance. Below the group soul are shown a number of irregular shapes, which are intended to represent groups or blocks of mineral substances. Within some of these blocks are to be seen some lower triads, the lines rising upwards from these indicating that they belong to their parent group soul hovering over them. On the extreme right of the diagram is shown a block of mineral substance which is supposed to have been in some way shattered, so that it is broken up into fragments. The lower triad, which previously was immersed in it, is shown in the act of withdrawal towards its parent group soul, as described on page 49 of the book. The habitat of the mineral group soul may be said to be that of its densest envelope, that is, the physical. In other words, the most active working of the mineral group soul is on the physical plane. Every lower triad has to pass through the mineral kingdom, this being the place where matter reaches its grossest form, and where the great life wave reaches the limit of its descent, and turns to begin its upward climbing. Furthermore, it is physical consciousness that is the first to be awakened. It is on the physical plane that life must turn definitely outwards and recognize contacts with the external world. The consciousness gradually learns to recognize the impacts from without, to refer them to the outer world, and to realize as its own the changes which it undergoes in consequence of those impacts. In other words, it is on the physical plane that consciousness first becomes self-consciousness. By prolonged experiences, the consciousness feels the pleasure or pain arising from the impacts, identifies itself with that pleasure or pain, and begins to regard as not itself that which touches its external, page 40, surface. Thus is formed the first rough distinction between not I and I. As experiences accumulate, the I will retreat ever inwards, throughout the whole of its future revolution, one veil of matter after another being relegated outwards as belonging to the not I. But, while its connotations steadily change, the fundamental distinction between subject and object ever remains. I is the consciousness which wills, thinks, feels, acts. Not I is that about which the consciousness wills, thinks, feels, or acts. Consciousness thus awakens on the physical plane, as we have said, and its expression is through the physical permanent atom. In this atom lies sleeping, it sleeps in the mineral, according to a well-known aphorism, and therein some degree of awakening must take place, so that it may be roused out of this dreamless sleep, and become sufficiently active to pass on into the next stage, that of the vegetable kingdom, where it is destined to dream. The responses of consciousness to external stimuli in the mineral kingdom are far greater than many may quite realize, some of these responses indicating that there is even a dawning of consciousness in the astral permanent atom. Thus chemical elements exhibit distinct mutual attractions, and chemical compounds are continually being broken up when another element intrudes. Two elements, forming a silver salt, for example, will suddenly separate from one another, in the presence of hydrochloric acid, the silver uniting with the chlorine from the acid, leaving the hydrogen from the acid to form a new partnership or compound with a discarded element, which formerly was united to silver. When such active interchanges take place, there is a slight stir in the astral atom, in consequence of the violent physical vibrations set up by the formation of, and a wrenching apart of, intimate ties. Thus astral consciousness is slowly aroused from the physical, a little cloud of astral matter being drawn round the astral permanent atom by these slight thrillings. This astral matter is, however, very loosely held, and seems to be quite unorganized. At this stage, there does not seem to be any vibration in the mental unit. No detailed list has as yet been made of minerals, plants or animals, of the seven rays or types. But the following list of jewels and minerals is a beginning of the classification which will no doubt someday be made. Page 41. Ray jewel at head of ray. Other jewels on same ray: 1 diamond rock crystal, 2 sapphire lapis lazuli, turquoise, sodalite, 3 emerald aquamarine, jade, malachite, 4 jasper chalcedony, agate, serpentine, 5 topaz citrine, steatite, 6 ruby tourmaline, garnet, carnelian, carbuncle, thulite, rhodonite, 7 amethyst porphyry, violan. Page 42, Chapter 11, Vegetable Group Souls. A vegetable group soul is illustrated in diagram 15. It will be observed that the wall of the group soul has now two layers only. The outer one is composed of astral monadic essence, that is, of astral atomic matter, the inner one of mental elemental essence, of matter of the fourth mental subplane. The physical layer, which the envelope of the mineral group soul possessed, has thus disappeared, as though absorbed, by the contents of the group soul, for the strengthening of their own etheric bodies. Within the group soul are shown some lower triads, attached to their respective higher triads, these being again linked with their overshadowing monads. The lower triads within the group soul are not at the moment directly associated with any plant life. Below the group soul are shown a number of forms which are intended to indicate groups of plants or vegetable lives. Within some of these are found some lower triads, the lines between these and the group soul indicating that they belong to the parent group soul which hovers over them. As in the case of the mineral group soul, at A, on the extreme right of the diagram, there is shown a plant form which is supposed to have been destroyed as an organism. The lower triad, which was embedded in it, is released. On the destruction of the form, the group soul then withdrawing it back into itself, as indicated by the arrow in the diagram. The activity of the group soul is now transferred from the physical to the astral plane, its work being the nourishment of the astral bodies of the lives it contains. Precisely as in the case of the mineral group souls, we may repeat that it is not to be supposed that every blade of grass, every plant, every tree, has a permanent atom within it, evolving to humanity during the life of our system. It is rather that the vegetable kingdom, which exists on its own account, and for other purposes, also affords the field of evolution for these permanent atoms, the devas guiding the permanent atoms to one plant form after another, so that they may experience the vibrations that affect the vegetable world and again store up these as vibratory powers in themselves as they did whilst they were embedded in the mineral kingdom. The method of interchange of vibrations, and consequently of segregation, continue as before. The group souls therefore constantly divide and subdivide, becoming thus not only more numerous, but also more different from one another in their leading characteristics. Page 43. During the time that is spent in the vegetable kingdom, there is more activity, perceptible in the astral permanent atom, than was the case during the period spent in the mineral kingdom. In consequence, the astral permanent atom attracts round itself astral matter, which is arranged by the devas in a rather more definite way. In the long life of a forest tree, the growing aggregation of astral matter develops itself in all directions as the astral form of the tree. That astral form experiences vibrations, which cause massive pleasure or discomfort, set up in the physical tree by sunshine and storm, wind and rain, heat and cold, etc., these experiences being passed on, to some extent, to the permanent atom embedded in that particular tree. As stated before, when the tree form perishes as a tree, the permanent atom retreats within the group soul, taking with it its rich store of experiences, which it shares in the manner previously described, with the other triads in the group soul. Furthermore, as the consciousness becomes more responsive in the astral, it sends little thrills down to the physical plane. These give rise to feeling which, though really derived from the astral, are yet felt as though in the physical. When there has been a long separate life, as, for example, in a tree, there will be a slight arousing of the mental unit, which will gather round it a little cloud of mental matter. On this the recurrence of seasons, etc., will slowly impress itself as a faint memory, which becomes a dim anticipation. As a general rule, in fact, it appears that each lower triad, during the later stages of its evolution in the vegetable world, will have a prolonged experience, in a single form, in order that some thrills of mental life may be experienced, and the lower triad thus be prepared to profit, in due time, by the wandering life of an animal. The rule, however, is not universal, for it also appears that, in some cases, the passage into the animal kingdom is made at an earlier stage, so that the first thrill in the mental unit occurs in some of stationary forms of animal life, and in very lowly animal organisms. For conditions, similar to those described as existing in the mineral and kingdoms, appear to prevail also in the lowest types of animals. In other words, the kingdoms appear to overlap to some extent. Page 44. Chapter 12. Animal group souls. An animal group soul is illustrated in diagram 16. As will be seen from the diagram, the envelope of the group soul now has but a single layer, consisting of elemental essence of the fourth mental subplane. The astral layer, which the vegetable group soul possessed, has been absorbed for the strengthening of the vague astral bodies of the triads within the group soul. The activity of the group soul is now transferred a plane higher to the lower mental plane, and it nourishes the inchoate mental bodies of the contained triads, thus gradually strengthening these into outlines less vague. Diagram 16 is on lines exactly similar to those of diagrams 14 and 15. Atta is an animal form which, as a form, has been destroyed. Consequently, the lower triad from it is being withdrawn into the group soul as indicated by the arrow in the diagram. Just as in the earlier kingdoms, the devas guide the triads into animal forms. Also, as in the mineral and vegetable kingdoms, the lower forms of animal life, such as microbes, amoebae, hydra, etc., show a permanent atom only as a visitor, now and again, and obviously in no way depend upon it for their own life and growth, nor do they break up when the permanent atom is withdrawn. These animal forms are thus merely hosts, which from time to time receive permanent atoms as passing guests. In no sense are they bodies formed round a permanent atom. In fact, before the devas, at a much later stage, build forms round these permanent atoms, the atoms in the animal kingdom must have received and stored up many experiences. Moreover, it is noteworthy at this stage, that the golden life web in no way represents the organization of the body of the host. The life web seems rather, to act as rootlets act in soil, attaching to themselves particles of soil and sucking from them the nourishment they require for the organism they serve. Page 45. Needless to say, in the animal kingdom, the permanent atoms receive far more varied vibrations than in the lower kingdoms. Consequently, they differentiate more quickly. As this differentiation proceeds, the multiplication of group souls goes on with increasing rapidity, the number of lower triads in any one group soul of course steadily diminishing. Diagram 17 illustrates the fission of an animal group soul. Mineral and vegetable group souls, as already described, also divide by a similar process of fission. Again and again the group soul divides, until eventually each lower triad possesses its own separate envelope. The triad is still within the enveloping case of elemental essence, which protects and nourishes it. It is drawing near to individualization, and the term group soul is no longer strictly applicable to it, because one lower triad clearly is not a group. It is a single lower triad which has separated off from the group to which previously it belonged. Diagrams V shows the stage which has now been reached. In the group soul envelope there is but one lower triad, but there are still several animal forms attached to the group soul. The next stage is reached when there is only one animal form attached to the group soul. This is indicated in diagram 18b. Large numbers of the higher domestic animals have reached this stage, and have really become separate entities, incarnating in a succession of animal bodies, although they have not as yet, of course, attained to the possession of a causal body, the true mark of individualization. Before passing on to describe the very interesting process of individualization, we may here note an analogy between the animal, when it is approaching individualization, and the human antenatal life. The animal at this stage corresponds to the last 2 months of the human fetus. Now it is known that a 7 months child may be born and may survive, but it will be stronger, healthier, more vigorous, if it profits yet another 2 months by its mother's shielding and nourishing life. So is it also better, for the normal development of the ego, that it should not burst too soon the envelope of the group soul, but should remain within it, still absorbing life through it, and strengthening from its constituents the finest part of its own mental body. When that mental body has reached the limit of growth possible, under these shielded conditions, then the time is ripe for individualization to take place. Knowledge of these facts has sometimes caused occultists to warn people, who are very fond of animals, not to be exaggerated in their affection, or to show it in unwise ways. For it is possible that the growth of the animal may be unhealthily foreseen, just as we know the development of a child may be unhealthily, page 46, forced, and the individualization of the animal thus be hastened out of due time. It is obviously far better to let an animal develop naturally, until it is fully ready for individualization, than to force it artificially, and cause it to become an individual before it is really ready to stand by itself, and live in the world as a separate human entity. It must be recollected that we are at present little more than halfway through the fourth round of the fourth chain, that is, a little more than halfway through the evolution of this chain of worlds, and that it is only at the end of this evolution that the animal kingdom is expected to attain humanity. Hence, any animal which is now attaining, or even approaching individualization, must be very remarkably in advance of the others, and the number of such cases is consequently very small. Nevertheless, they do occasionally occur. Close association with man is necessary to produce this result. We may note two factors at work. 1. The emotions and thoughts of the man act constantly upon those of the animal, and tend to raise him to a higher level both emotionally and intellectually. 2. The animal, if kindly treated, develops devoted affection for his human friend, and also unfolds his intellectual powers in trying to understand that friend and anticipate his wishes. It has been found that individualization, which lifts an entity definitely from the animal kingdom into the human, can take place only for certain kinds of animals, one for each of the seven great types or races. In fact, it is only among domesticated creatures, and by no means among all classes, even of these, that individualization occurs. Of these classes, we already know certainly the elephant, the monkey, the dog and cat. The horse is possibly a fifth. Up to each of these heads of types leads a long line of wild animals, which has not been fully investigated. It is known, however, that wolves, foxes, jackals, and all such creatures culminate in the dog, lions, tigers, leopards, jaguars and ocelots culminate in the domestic cat. It should be noted also that an animal of any given type, that individualizes into a human being, will become a man of that same type, and no other. Both bees and ants, which together with wheat, were brought from Venus by the lords of the flame, live in a manner quite different from purely terrestrial creatures, in that with them a group soul animates the entire ant or bee community, so that the community acts with a single will, and its different units are actually members of one body, in the sense in which hands and feet are members of the human frame. It might indeed be said of them that they have not only a group soul, but a group body also. The investigations of M. Mate Ehrlich appear to confirm the above fully. He writes, page 47, "The population of the hive, the ant hill and the termitary, seems to be one individual, one single living creature, whose organs, composed of innumerable cells, are disseminated only in appearance, but remain always subject to the same energy or vital personality, the same central law. By virtue of this collective immortality, the decease of hundreds of termites that are immediately succeeded by others, does not affect or touch the central being. For millions of years, the same insect has gone on living, with the result that not a single one of its experiences has been lost. There has been no interruption of its existence, or disappearance of its memories. An individual memory has remained, and this has never ceased to function or to centralize every acquisition of the collective soul. They bathe in the same vital fluid as the cells of our own being, but in their case this fluid would seem to be much more diffuse, more elastic, more subtle, more psychical, or more ethereal than that of our body. And this central unity is no doubt bound up with the universal soul of the bee, and probably with what is actually the universal soul." From The Life of the White Ant by Maurice Mate Ehrlich, pages 199-207, "With regard to the numbers of separate creatures attached to a group soul, there may be quadrillions of flies and mosquitoes, hundreds and thousands of rabbits or sparrows, a few thousands of such animals as the lions and tiger, leopard, deer, wolf, or wild boar. Among domesticated animals such as sheep and oxen, the number is still smaller. In the case of the seven animals from whom individualization is possible, there are usually only a few hundred attached to each group soul, and as their development continues, they break up rapidly. Whilst there may be a thousand pariah dogs attached to one group soul, in the case of a really intelligent pet dog or cat there may be not more than 10 or 12 bodies over which the group soul hovers. Animal group souls are greatly affected and assisted by the influences which the masters of wisdom are continually pouring out, affecting to some extent everything within a wide radius. Page 48, Chapter 13, Individualization, ITS Mechanism and Purpose. We have now arrived at the stage where a change of vast importance to the evolving life is about to take place, viz. The individualization of the animal, the formation of the causal body, the entry into the human kingdom. In order to understand the whole phenomenon, and to recognize its full significance, let us briefly recapitulate the stages already passed. We saw first that the monads, which derive their being from the first logos, come forth and dwell on the Anupadaka plane during all ages over which we have glanced. With the help of devas, each monad has appropriated to himself the three permanent atoms which represent him as a jivatma on the planes of atma, buddhi and manas, these three forming the higher triad. In addition, to each higher triad has been attached also a lower triad, consisting of a mental unit, and an astral and a physical permanent atom. The lower triad has been plunged successively into the earlier kingdoms of life, shielded and nourished by its group soul. By repeated subdivision, brought about by differentiation of experience, each lower triad has now become possessed of an envelope or sac to itself, derived from the original group soul. After a succession of experiences in a series of single animal forms, the lower triad is at length sufficiently awakened to warrant a further step being taken in the evolutionary scheme, a step which will bring to it a further installment, if we may use such an expression, or aspect, of the divine life. Just as the human fetus is nourished by the mother in her womb until such time as the child is strong enough to live its own independent existence in the outer world, so is the triad, shielded and nourished by the group soul, the medium by which the second logos protects and nourishes his infant children, until the triad is strong enough to be launched into the outer world as a self-contained unit of life, pursuing its own independent evolution. Thus is reached the term of antenatal life of the jivatma, the higher triad of atma, buddhi, manas, enclosing the life of the monad, the time being now ripe for his birth into the lower world. The mother life of the second logos has built for him the bodies in which he can live as a separate entity in the world of forms, and he has to come into direct possession of those bodies and take up his human evolution. Up to this point, all communication of the monad with the lower planes has been brought through the sutratna or thread self, on which the permanent atoms are strung. See page 49, diagram 19a, but now the time has come for a fuller communication than is represented by this delicate thread in its original form. The sutratma accordingly widens out, see diagram 19b, the ray from the monad glows and increases, assuming more the form of a funnel, the thread between the silent watcher and his shadow becomes more strong and radiant, the secret doctrine, volume I, page 285. This downflow of monadic life is accompanied by much increased flow between the buddhic and manasic permanent atoms. See diagram 19c. The manasic permanent atom awakens, sending out thrills in every direction. Other manasic atoms and molecules gather round it. See diagram 19d, and a whirling vortex is formed on the three upper subplanes of the mental plane. A similar whirling motion takes place in the cloudy mass surrounding the mental unit which, as we have seen, is enveloped in the group soul. The wall of the group soul is then torn asunder, and caught up into the vortex, above, see diagram XXA. Here it is disintegrated, being resolved into matter of the third mental subplane, and, as the whirlpool subsides, it is formed into a delicate, filmy envelope, this being the causal body, see diagram 20b. In describing this process, the illustration usually given in the East is that of a waterspout. There we have a great cloud hovering above the sea, on the surface of which waves are constantly forming and moving. Presently from the cloud is extended an inverted cone of violently whirling vapor, like a great finger. Underneath this, of Ortex is rapidly formed in the ocean, but instead of being a depression in its surface, as in an ordinary whirlpool, it is a whirling cone rising above that surface. Steadily the two draw closer and closer together, until they come so near that the power of attraction is strong enough to overleap the intervening space, and suddenly a great column of mingled water and vapor is formed where nothing of the kind existed before.